You are listening to the Victory Podcast. We hope this message will find favor in your life. For more updates about Victory, log on to victory.org.ph and bookmark our website in your browser. Now, here's your message.
We're now looking at Thrive, and just a bit of a review of the walk through the book of Romans. We said that we wanted to make sure that this year all of us would thrive. And I began the series 3 weeks ago by talking about what thrive is, which is simply to grow. Thrive means to bloom, to prosper, to flourish, to succeed. And survive is just to make it through the year. And we don't want to go there. We want to make sure this is the year that we thrive. We actually grow, bloom, flourish, succeed, prosper. We want something that's sustainable. We don't want something that's just survival mode or unsustainable. So we looked at this illustration of a tree and the sun, that as long as the sun is out there, then we're like a tree out of the book of Psalms chapter 1, that will flourish and prosper in all that we do. And we said that when the sun disappears, the tree disappears, and it's very similar to how man is. Without God, we cannot prosper. We simply can't thrive. We can try and try and try, but the reality is we can't. And that the only way we can thrive throughout the year is to have God in our life. So we do have a problem, we said. The reason why we don't thrive is because somehow we are separated from God. And that we are unable to thrive because of this thing called sin. Now the only way we can measure this gap or get through this gap is through Jesus. And then we said that when we have Jesus, what happens is we are back in connection with God. Hence, we thrive once again. And then we said that in the midst of that, as the year goes forward, we're thriving and it's all great until we move through the rest of the year. As the year moves forward, we realize how holy God is. And if you attended Victory Weekend, you know this already. But it's a review of the reality that God is holy and that we are sinners. And that as we go forward in life, that gap gets wider and wider and bigger, and we can't seem to measure up to God. And as a result of that, because we can't measure up to God, we lose our connection with God. Hence, we do not thrive. Is everybody still clear? Now, as we go further, we realize that we have an encounter with God. And so the distance between God and us is somehow met. But as we go forward through the years, the knowledge of who Jesus is and our understanding of who He is, the reality of who He is in our lives is not growing as it should. Hence, there's the gap. And so we work and do different types of things to measure up. We explained this in the first series, which still doesn't measure up. We do works. We try to be dishonest with ourselves. We do all sorts of things. But what should really happen, we said, in order to thrive, is not just to try to do things, but for the knowledge and our relationship with Christ to grow and grow with each passing year. Amen? And so that's where we are. And then we said in the first week, and I'm reviewing this for you so that you can keep track. The book of Romans, I was just whispering to Pastor Paul Barker, who just arrived a few days ago. By the way, would you please welcome Pastor Paul Barker, head of our leadership development here in the Philippines. He's doing a great job. And I was whispering to him, Pastor Paul, I think it was you who started our track in Romans, because he's really one of the best theologians I've known in my life. And the book of Romans is a tough book to teach. And the job of a pastor like me is, how do I get it to you where you can actually walk out of here and not be confused, but rather walk out with an application? We said the first week that the key is to know more about Jesus, to believe in that what we know, and then finally we said to count it, to reckon it. How many of you guys remember this lesson? And then we said last week that it's the practical application of that, knowing, believing, and counting, is the way you do that or live that in a daily life is you've got to get to the place where you do not offer yourselves to sin. Rather, we said, you offer yourself to God. And the only way you can actually offer yourself to God is by receiving God's offer of grace. Now we've got where we are. Then I talked to you a little bit last week about Tim Tebow. And how we wish that we were all like Tim Tebow, that we have this almost near perfect life. But the reality is we're not. The reality is we're more like Vito. That's the reality. In fact, the more I think about it, the less Tim Tebow I think I am, and the more Vito I think I am. And like Vito, I always say his name is Vito, and also known as Pochoy. That's what I call him now. And Pochoy is our dog, and he's new in the family, and he's got a great family. He's grateful for his family, and that's probably you. You're starting the year, no, believe, count, reckon it. Cash that check every day. Jesus died for me. I'm no longer alive to sin. I'm dead to sin, and I'm alive to Christ. All right? That's week one. Then I walk through the year. I offer my body to God and not to sin. And I receive the free offer of God, and I'm so walking this life, and I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for the sunny days of my life. I just love sunny days. I love this idea that I'm thriving. I'm grateful for my neighbors and my friends. That's Hershey. That's our next door neighbor. And I think Vito has a crush on, I think it's the other way around. I think Hershey has a crush on our boy. And so here I am, I'm thriving. I'm doing good. I'm walking through the day. And then I like everybody else, I thrive on prayer. God, give me today my daily bread. But there are days. There are just some days when I feel depressed, that even my brightest toy is meaningless. Are you with me? It's just the reality of life, okay? We're starting the year. We're going to thrive. We know. We believe. We will count. We will do all of this. We will offer our bodies to God and not to sin, and we will receive the free offer of grace. But there are days, regardless of how beautiful the sun is, that I just get depressed. And low, and no amount of God's blessing works. And so I run to my father, and I try to cuddle up to dad, but somehow I think he's sleeping. And then I realize he actually loves me. Are you still with me? And then he blesses me with a new toy. Okay? And I'm thriving again. I'm back in business. This is how we live, isn't it? The real world. In church world, yeah, I believe. I know, I believe, I count, I believe. I'll offer my body, I'll raise up my hand. I lift up my hand, standing unashamed. Are you with me? But I live in the real world. There's traffic jams. There's all kinds of people. There are bad people. I've got a bad boss. Don't talk about him. He might actually be here. But this is where I live, Pastor. And I'm thriving again, and then, in the midst of that thriving, I mess up big time. Out of nowhere, I've tried my best. I know, I believe, I count. I offer my body, I follow the Master, I do all of that. I receive the grace of Jesus, but somewhere, somehow, I blow it. I mess up again. What do we do now? And I don't think I'm thriving. Today we're going to talk about the law or the spirit. And I want to warn you, if I were your pilot, there are days when a pilot says, fasten your seatbelts, it's going to be a little bit of a ride. Okay? So I need you to fasten your seatbelts and knock the person beside you to wake up. This is important in your journey of thriving this year. We're reading out of the book of Romans chapter 7 verse 1. Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I'm speaking to those who know the law. In other words, what he's saying, you should not have any problems understanding this. You should have no questions understanding it, because I'm speaking to people who know this, who understand this law. I'm going to just read through verse all the way down the chapter, and then I'm going to explain this to you just like what we did last week. Verse 1b says, the law has authority over someone as long as that person lives. He's talking about the law. It's the second time he's mentioned this idea of the law. Rules, commandments, things to follow. He goes on to say, for example, by law, there's that word law again, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he's alive. But her husband dies, she's released from the law that binds him. So he's using a very common day example. If you're married to the law, as long as you're alive, you're tied up to this law. You don't have a choice. The only way out, he says, from this law is if you have sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she's called an adulteress. In other words, you cannot break this law. Every time you do it, you fail, you sin, you repeat over. But if her husband dies, she's released from the law. There's that word law again. and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. How many of you are already confused? Are you already having a hard time following? Just read with me, and this will all make sense in a while. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us so that we bore the fruit of death. He's basically saying that the law somehow arouses, this law does not really help us. It actually arouses us to sin somehow. It's kind of like when you tell somebody, don't do that, or if I tell all of you, don't think of ice cream right now. How many of you know you're really thinking about the flavor? It's just how we are. The minute somebody tells you don't do it, you're taking one step further. It arouses. The law somehow arouses us to sin. By dying to what was once bound us, we have been released from the law. There's that word law again. How, he says, how do you escape this being bound by the law? So that we serve in the new way of the Spirit. Everybody say, in the new way of the Spirit. Law or Spirit? That's the gist of this thing. Now further in verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was if it had not been for the law. What he's saying here is the law sinful? No. Without the law, we would not know what sin is. We would not know right from wrong. In other words, the law is important, for I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet. The only way I will know the law is if it's stated to me. So then the law is holy. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. It's actually holy, righteous, and good. Verse 13, he says, did that which is good, he's asking a question, did that which is good become death to me? Did the law mean death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death. In other words, for us to be able to recognize, there it is again, to know what sin is, we need the law. It is used what is good to bring about my death. And so through the commandment, sin might be become utterly sinful. In other words, what he's saying is, number one, the law arouses sin in us. The second thing it says is the law reveals our sins. And finally it says the law literally makes it bigger. It magnifies it. Is everybody following? So let's try and understand this. Law or spirit? He says, for when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law. So the law, first of all, arouses our sinful passions. The minute you are told, this is important, if you're going to thrive this year and have access to God in Christ Jesus, you got to understand this. It arouses. The minute you hear somebody say, don't do that. You ever got those Facebook messages that it says there's something about this thing that's mysterious, and you know deep in your spirit you feel there's not good, but how many of you know you're going to click it? Something inside of us that's aroused when it's not supposed to be touched. Just something. I don't know what it is. It's sin. Secondly, it says, what to say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin is had it not been for the law. In other words, what he's saying is, the law is not just it's to know what sin is. The law literally reveals our sins. Number one, it arouses our sins. Number two, it reveals our sins. And finally, nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death. Hence, it might be utterly sinful. In other words, it magnifies our sins. Let me show you a short video that this is not just for adults. The minute you're born, these three things are at play. The law arouses your sins. I want you to listen to these three thoughts as you watch this video. Number three, it reveals our sins. And number three, it magnifies our sins. See, this whole arousal to sin, let's not start when you're old. I was riding a train. I forgot to put in the photo on my way home from Hong Kong. And I was riding the train, and there were two babies, actually 1 year old, 1.5 year old boys that were sitting in front. They were twins. And they were fighting over a coloring book. And so one of the boys was shouting as her grandfather, I would think, and asking for the coloring book, and the other guy wouldn't give it, and he was smiling and taunting him. So the grandfather finally took the coloring book and handed it to the other baby, and now he's screaming and shouting. But the grandfather appeased this other one, so this guy is screaming and shouting, and finally he grabs the book, and he's returning it to this guy, and this guy says, no, I don't want it anymore. This is a one-year-old. And it already shows you the arousal of sin when I can't get what I want. And not only the revelation of my sin, it's really not about the coloring book, it's about my will. I want it now. And it just magnifies it. Now I hate you. It starts out with a coloring book. And it becomes about my wants. And then it becomes about now I hate you. I don't even want you, my twin brother. It magnifies it, isn't it? Pretty amazing. I want to walk you through the story of two boys in my hopes that you would understand what it means, what Paul was talking about, how that works in real time, in real life. This is talking about Cain and his brother Abel. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as a sin offering. I'm using this verse, by the way, because as you will see in a while, this is the first time the word sin is ever mentioned. I'm also using this so that you can understand how the law works, what it means when you say the law. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil and was giving an offering to the Lord. Now think about this. This guy is doing what we talked about last week. He's making an what? An offering. He's offering to God. He wasn't planning to sin. He was actually coming to God with an offering. Now what happens next is as Abel has also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock, the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. Does everybody follow? One guy gives an offering, the other guy gives another offering, and God says, this offering is something that's acceptable. And then the Lord looks with favor on his offering. And what happens next, that's a simple rule. God has this simple rule that this is acceptable, and what Cain was offering was not. But Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Is everybody following? I'm trying to boil the law in very simple terms for you. The law is simply God's will. God's will was what Abel was offering is acceptable and what Cain was offering was not. There are many reasons why it wasn't. First of all, what Cain was offering was cursed. The land was cursed. But the more important reason was God preferred a blood sacrifice, an offering, something that was costly. So Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Arouses our sinful passions. Did you notice that? A simple rule, a simple command, a simple law, and immediately, the guy's making an offering. He's actually going to God, making an offering, and all of a sudden, sin is aroused. He hasn't sinned yet, but he's angry. That's what the law does to us. I don't want that. I want my will. I don't understand that. God, why would you accept his and not mine? Well, simply follow God's will. Because if you don't, it'll arouse our sinful passion. Everybody following so far? Now the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Why are you doing tantrums? Why are you sulking, basically? Why are you depressed? Most of the time, the reason why we're depressed is because we refuse to just follow God's will. God says, live in faith, walk in faith, and we just refuse to. And so what happens next is if you do what is right, okay, you will you not be accepted. I really, really love the way God interfaces with people. He's not even prescribing, he's asking a question. He's trying to get a revelation of the heart. if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, and this is what I want to show you. He says sin. First time it's ever been mentioned in the whole Bible. And any theologian will tell you that the first time a word is mentioned, you want to take careful attention to that word. He says sin is crouching. That's an interesting concept. Sin is like this animal, he says. It's like this lion that's hiding behind the rock, that if you open your door of your heart, this thing's going to jump inside. Now you're going to have a real problem. Because what's going to happen is you're going to be fighting this on the inside rather than the outside. Are you following? How many of you know if you have an enemy or a lion was attacking you, it's one thing to fight a lion that's coming to you when you're inside a house with a gun. It's a totally different thing when your lion is inside your house. That's what he was being told. You know, there's one thing to have sin that's outside of your house. It's another thing when this thing's inside your house. You have a serious problem here. In other words, you're not just going to be aroused to sin. It will reveal your sins. It will take control of you. Is everybody following? And finally, he kills his brother. That's how the progression of sin is. By the simple not willing to do God's will, not abiding by God's law, what happens is our passions for sin is aroused, reveals the truth of our hearts. And if we don't curtail that or stop, what happens is it gets magnified. And just like those two boys I was watching, now you're ready to kill your brother. Now, back to Romans chapter 7. Here now is the Apostle Paul. After explaining everything about the law, he says very clearly what happened to Cain. Are you following? For I do not do the good I want to do. Now he's saying, there's this good I want to do, but I don't do it. This is tough. How many of you know, how many of you have read this verse before? Okay? Now, fasten your seat belts. Everybody ready? He says, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. He's saying, I want to do good, but for some reason, I can't do good. I end up doing the bad stuff. Clear enough? Now, does that describe you? If you're honest with yourself, that's you. Now, we lie to ourselves and we try to fill that gap and pretend, oh, I'm generous, I'm this, I'm that, I work so hard, I don't steal, I don't commit adultery, I'm not like that guy. We fill the gap, but the reality is deep down inside us, we still don't have that power. He goes on and says, now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but the sin living in me that does it. In other words, this sin that's inside of me is just so potent and powerful, it's a fight. Are you still with me? And this sin, just this thing, just this, the law does not help any. It actually arouses this thing. I'm trying to suppress this thing, but the law just keeps making this thing jump up and down. It actually wants to do more. And not only that, it actually reveals that there's more in there. Are you still with me? How many of you want to thrive this year? You got to deal with this thing. And not only does it reveal it, in many cases, I mess up big. I thought I was knowing this. I thought I was believing this. I thought I was counting this. I thought I was offering my body. I thought I was not offering the sin. I thought I received the grace of God. And then all of a sudden, somebody cut me, and I wish he died right there. And all of a sudden, my boss said something, and I wish lightning struck him. And I'm holding my coffee cup, shaking, and said, God, what a sinner I am, but I still wish he dies. How many of you live where I live? And by the way, you also said the S-H-I-T word along with it. Are you being honest with yourself? This is how you thrive. It's not by working harder, not by trying harder, but understanding this issue of the law and the spirit. That if you keep walking in the law doesn't help. It just arouses it. It just makes it worse. It just causes you to see more, oh God, this is really ugly. And it magnifies it if you don't stop. That's what he was warning Cain about. You can't fix it. He goes on and says, this sin living in me does it. So I find this law, there's that word law, at work. This law's working against me. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. You know, when I think about this, I always think about this thing I call the thin line, where it's so easy to give an offering 1 minute, and the very next minute, I'm killing my brother. It's so easy to preach and talk and be Christian, and the very next minute, you hate people. It's so easy to be a good husband and be patient, and all of a sudden, just one little thing, the perfume was just a little too much for the car, and all of a sudden, you heard me. There's a thin line, my friends. We want to think that line is wide. It really isn't. The law is at work. I want to do good, but evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, my very core, the very heart of me, yes, I delight in God's law. Yes, I want God's law. Without God's law, there won't be order. There won't be justice. I know that for a fact. I need God's law. In my inner core, this has to happen. I believe it. That's why I come to church. That's why I give my tithes. That's why I pray. That's why I make disciples. I believe in God's law. There's nothing wrong with God. Certainly not, Paul said. It's not a bad thing to have law. Law creates order. Order and justice create peace. It's law that allows us to order our world. But I see another law, he says, at work within me, that waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law that is of sin that is at work within me. He says this other law, this thing that mixes up with sin. It's actually a process. It's actually like one of these things that it just happens inside of me. It's also fighting me, he says. This law. Can't make it work. It's kind of like bok choy. You know, amazingly, last week I talked to you about the clicker, remember? And I would click. And so bok choy was there and he was sitting and sit, shake, high five. I mean, everything I told him, plank, everything I told him, he just did. He just stand up and wait, stay. I go to the kitchen, come back, stay, click, give him another food. Phenomenal. Gosh, I said, wow. I felt like God. No, I didn't. But it just worked. And so I finally experimented. I thought, now let's try it outside the house without a leash. So I get out of the door. Bok choy, Vito, let's go. Click, don't cross the street. Click, bang, sit, wait, cross the street. We're now in the middle of the basketball court. And Bok choy sitting there. Click, eat, click. I walk to the very end of the court. Stay. I'm so far away from him. And I come back and click. Wow, I said, this is phenomenal. Spin, roll around. I'm ready for the dog show. And so I walk further. And I said, stay. And all of a sudden, Bok choy turns away from me and looks at something. I said, stay, look. And I know this because I've been trained by the trainer. As soon as he turns away from you, you're in trouble. I said, Vito, look, stay. And then he looks again and turns and then runs. And then I get there and Hershey's going like this at him. The sin nature was aroused. The little boy caved in. I thought he was offering his life to me already. Are you still with me? There's just this law at work in us. I mean, it's just, we can't do anything about it. What a wretched man I am. How do I do this? I love God. My inner core wants to follow his law. I want to do what's right. I want to obey my master. What a wretched man. How do I do this? I mean, is this going to be every day? I'm going to wake up every day like this? Some days it's going to be sunny. Some days I'm going to pray. Some days I'm going to rely. Then there's days when I'm just going to be torn on the inside. Oh gosh, what a wretched man I am. What a horrible life. Who will rescue me? And that's the right question. Who? It's not what. It's not what will I do, but rather who will rescue me? That's the correct question, isn't it? It's really not about the law. It's about a person who will save you. And then he answers the question, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God, I don't have to strive because Jesus. And here's the simple truth about the law and the Spirit. The law arouses our sinful passions. The law reveals our sins. The law magnifies our sins. The Spirit, on the other hand, arouses our passion for Jesus. That when we slow ourselves down and say, Lord, I need you today, somehow in the Holy Spirit arouses that passion, that cross that gets bigger. It isn't just the law reveals my sins, but Jesus, the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus, what he did for me. And that cross gets bigger and bigger. And while the law magnifies my sins, Jesus is magnified by the Holy Spirit. See, there's two ways to magnify something. You can take something that's extremely small and make it bigger by putting it under a microscope. And somehow that thing magnifies itself and overwhelms you. It's like a bug. If you take a poor old little bug that you can stomp with your foot, if you put it under a microscope and start looking at that and focusing on that little thing, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and monstrous to the point that you're afraid of it. So what happens when you start glaring at sin and laws and applying that to yourself? You magnify that to the place where it overwhelms you. The other way to magnify something is through a telescope, is to take something that's so far away and draw it nearer and nearer and nearer and closer, almost like a mountain range. Remember, my son and I were in Utah one time, and we were seeing this mountain range, beautiful mountain range, Rockies, and it was just beautiful, majestic in the distance until we got nearer and nearer and nearer and nearer and nearer. It just blew us away. It was just huge, giant rocks. And then when we started walking in there, we thought, it will take us 20 years to see this whole thing. That's who God is. When you start drawing near, when Jesus gives you access, you no longer magnify the little thing, you magnify the real thing. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, the law is holy, the law is important, the law is good, but that's not how you live. You live by the Spirit. Because in the Spirit, it will arouse your passion for Jesus. It will reveal what he has done for you on the cross. And as you move through each day in Christ, that cross gets bigger and bigger. Not the religious Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible. The one who died for my sins. And as I move further along, he gets magnified, bigger than my biggest concern, bigger than my biggest depression. And I can walk through life. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you, Lord, that by your Spirit, we will thrive this year. It's not by might nor by power, not by our abilities, not by our talents, not by our knowledge, not by our experience, not by our abiding in the law, not by our religious practices, solely through Jesus and by Jesus. Holy Spirit, oh God, arouse us in our passion for Jesus. Reveal further the greatness and the magnitude of what he has accomplished on the cross for us. Lord, may we never just bypass the cross. May we each and every day of our lives preach the gospel to our hearts. Would you look up here for a minute? You don't even want to know how to thrive. Every day, preach the gospel to yourself. Good morning, sinner Joey. You're lost again, aren't you? And it's going to be a bad day without Jesus. But thanks be to God. Jesus died for you. And your sins are paid for. And you don't have to strive. And you don't have to perform. And you don't have to lie. You can do it by grace. And so I choose to offer my body and not to sin, because I'm receiving the free gift of grace from God. Amen? Let's pray for our offering. Father, bless our tithes and offerings this day. Lord, as we continue to worship you, we sincerely desire to honor you, Father, and thank you for all that you've accomplished in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. And everyone said, amen and amen.